The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Mem Beis, and we are on daf Mem Beis, Amud Aleph, the Mishnah. Zok to Mishnah, Mafkid Mois, Itzel Chavero, if somebody gives his friend money to watch as a pekodin, Tzirirot, he put them in a handkerchief, Vefshiva Machir, and he swung it behind him, and he was carrying it. Oi. Where he gave it over to his son or daughter that were ktanim to watch, and his children were in their house. However, he locked the door of the house somewhat improperly, meaning it wouldn't have been so difficult for them to get out of the house. The halacha is, if later something happens to the mois, chayev, the shomer is going to be chayev, and the reason is, even though he did a shmira, Tziriron, he put it in this handkerchief, or he gave it over to his children, but the Shmira was not considered the appropriate Shmira. He didn't watch it in the way that a Shomer is supposed to watch it. If, however, he does watch it in the way that a Shomer is supposed to watch it, and then afterwards something happens to it, Potter, he'll be Potter, because in that instance, he would be deemed an Oinus. Says the Gemara, Bishle Makulu, I understand all the cases of the Mishnah, and it's not really caught all, but rather the case where he gives it over to his son or daughter, Haktan, and why it's considered Shalosh Shima Kederach HaShomrim, that's self-evident. You're giving it to your children, the Ktanim, to watch. It's obvious that they're most likely not going to do a good job. Why, if he put it in a handkerchief and he swung it behind him, why is that considered Shalosh Shima Kederach HaShomrim? It sounds like he did what a shomer is supposed to do, and if later something happened, he should be deemed an oinus. It's based on a pasuk. The pasuk is in the context of Maaser Sheni, where it says that a person, if he wants, can redeem his peiros Maaser Sheni with money. V'tzarta hakesef biyotcha, says the Torah. Take the money biyotcha, and we darshin a drasha afal pishetzrurin, even if they're in this handkerchief, meaning they're somewhat protected, still you, biyotcha, they should be in your hand, they should be in front of you, so that if hifshilon la'achayrav, it's considered a pshia. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, based on a pasuk, I can tell you that it's inappropriate to watch money in a way where you're holding it behind you. Money is always supposed to be in front of you. You have to keep your eye on the ball. You have to always know where the money is. And even though it's tsrurin, it doesn't matter. Still, you biyotcha. So being that this shomer watched the money in a way where it's hifshilon la'achayrav, it's for that reason it's considered shalosh shimer kederech ha'shomer. Om Rabbi Yitzchak, another statement that Rabbi Yitzchak made in the context of money. So we mentioned here that Rabbi Yitzchak said that now I know that a shomer that watches money in a way where he's tzareron, v'hevshilon la'achayrav, it's not considered a good shmira. It's based on this pasuk, v'tzar ta'kesa b'yadcha. So the Gemara is going to bring now five or so other members that Rabbi Yitzchak said all about money. From Rabbi Yitzchak, a person should always be liquid. Rashi, second line. Don't take your money and give it to someone to watch in another place. Don't put it in a Swiss bank. You want to have access to your money, because what if you have a good business opportunity to buy schayra where you're going to be able to make a good profit? If the money is going to be in Andreg Welt, how are you going to have access to it? So said Rabbi Yitzchak, a person should always have his money, and he based it on the same pasuk. A person, when he sits down with his financial planner and he decides how to invest his money, he should invest it into three asset classes. And how does he allocate it? Shlish bekarka, a third by real estate, v'shlish beprakmatya, a third by schayra, v'shlish tachas yodei, and a third you should keep in cash. So Rashi doesn't really say much. The Marsha says the reason is because each one of these three asset classes have their advantages. And the Lashon HaMarsha is, each one has something that the other one doesn't have. Karka has value in that it can't be stolen. Karka in an exelist is depreciation. Speak to your accountant. There are other benefits and advantages of owning real estate. But the point is, it's something that is nechsi d'loy naidi. Nobody can steal it. Pragmatia has an advantage because the return on investment that a person can have from pragmatia can very often be greater than the return of investment that a person's going to have karka. You're taking more risk. As a result, there's the possibility of having a greater reward. And finally, shlish tachas yoda. If you're going to have cash, there's a milo so that if an opportunity comes, you'll always have money available. Either way, so Rabbi Yitzchak said, a person should be yashlish ma'isa. This is similar to Gemara Masech Des Kedushin, that when a person learns Torah, he should be yashlish. He should divide his learning into thirds. You should learn Mishnah, Mikra, Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam says that today we learn Talmud Bavli, which is Mevulal. It's mixed up with all these different types of Limudim. But when it comes to business, similar advice. From Rabbi Yitzchak, Eina bracha metzuya, but over something min ha'ayin. Bracha is only chal on something that's samoy min ha'ayin, that people cannot see. But to the extent that it's in your face, it's exposed, it's difficult for the bracha to be chal on that. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Yishtzav Hashem itcha es habracha ba'asom necha. The pashup shot in that pasuk is that Hashem is going to bless the tfua ba'asom necha that's in your silos. But Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. But Rabbi Yitzchak Darshan ba'asom mechas miloshin samoy min ha'ayin. Something that people cannot see. So when is it Yitzav Hashem Itcha Es HaBracha? Only when it's Ba'asomecha, it's Samim Min Ha'ayin. A similar drasha. Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. Ein HaBracha Metzui Elab Dovah She'ein Ha'ayin Sholetis. But Bracha is only Chal on something that the Ayin can't be Sholet on. Shenema Yitzav Hashem Itcha Es HaBracha Ba'asomecha. The same pasuk. How did he darshan the pasuk? And what's the nuance between the two drushas? He darshan the pasuk literally. Ba'asamecha, your silos. But Reuven can't see Vastutzach and Shimon's silo. He sees maybe Vastutzach and Shtub, but he doesn't see what's going on ba'asamecha. So to the extent that you leave it ba'asamecha, then Yitzav Hashem Itcha Es HaBracha. But if you're going to take it out of ba'asamecha, then the bracha is not going to be chal. And Pasha Pshat, there is really no machloikis between Yitzchak's drasha and Tanit Rabbi Yishmael's drasha. It's Mashmoy's darshan ikibeinayo. They're saying the same thing. The bracha is chal on something that people cannot see. Whether that's the literal meaning, ba'asamecha, in your silos, as opposed to it being out there, or asamecha, miloshin tzamim and ha'ayim, but the point seems to be the same. Other Rishonim learn differently. Ayin sham. Tanu Rabbana, nahilu chlamen es garna. If somebody goes to measure and assess what he has in his goyrin, oimer, he should make a bracha. So he's going now to assess his tefuah. He's a farmer. What grows in his field is literally his parnasa. So he's going now to see, so did I have a good year? Before he goes, he should say the following Yehiratzin. Yehiratzin mufanecha Hashem alikenu, shetishlach brocha b'masa yodeinu. He should say Yehiratzin at tefillah, that when he goes and he counts, he's going to find that he had a good year. His chalamud, once he starts the actual medida, so the Yiratzin, he says, when he's hoylei chalamud. Now he started doing the actual medida. He's counting. Oimer, he should say, Baruch HaShaleach Brocha B'kri Hazeh. He should say, Baruch, not Yehiratzin, but Baruch, HaShaleach Brocha B'kri Hazeh. The Ritva speaks out here in the Gemara. And this Gemara is a Gemara in Tainas Tav Ches Amid Beis, and Rashi there speaks out as well, that this is a real bracha. It's supposed to be said, B'Shem U'Malchus, Baruch Ato Hashem Aleikenu Melech Ha'olam, HaShaleach Brocha B'kri Hazeh. Modad, if he did the Medido. V'acha kach birech, so he didn't do it the way it was prescribed, which is his chalamut. But he completed the Medido, and afterwards he said this bracha, HaRezu Tefila Shav, it's too late. Because at that point, you're saying bracha so that you, the shefa of bracha should be chal. It's not going to be chal anymore. Because once you count it, there's no bracha. Because bracha is not metzuyo loy bedover hashokol, not something that's weighed. V'loy bedover hamadu, it's something that's measured. V'loy bedover hamadu, not something that's counted. Ela bedover hasamim min ha'ayim shenemar yitzav Hashem itcha es habracha ba'asamecha. So the Gemara is bringing a brisa to support this last comment that Rabbi Yitzchak made, which is also a Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, that ein habracha metzuya ela bedover hasamui min ha'ayin, or bedover she'ein ha'ayin shaletes boy. And you see it plays itself out in halacha, that this bracha that the Braisa says a person should say when he's going to measure his crops to see whether or not he had a good year, is something you can only say if you didn't do the medida yet. Because the purpose of the bracha is, it's a tefillah, it's a bracha requesting that bracha be chal b'kri hazeh. Once you do the medida, it's already a davar hamanui. It's not samui min ha'ayin, even though you're the only one that knows. But it's not samui min ha'ayin anymore. And it's for that reason the bracha can't be chal. So on that note, hischelamud, yeah, but once you complete the medida, at that point, it's already going to be too late. So two interesting things. Number one, so what's this idea that ein habracha metzuya ela b'davar hasamim min ayin? So pashtra pshat, it has to do with ayin hara. So ayin hara is something that comes up throughout Shas, and we always speak out, the Gemara Masechtas Psachim, Arvei Psachim, that someone that's makbid on ayin hara has to be worried about ayin hara. Someone that doesn't really care about ayin hara, maybe doesn't have to be worried about it. Rashbam says it's not so simple, because if it was so simple, then the Chachamim would just say, don't think about it. And if you don't think about it, then you don't have to worry about it. Elamai says, Rashbam, everybody really has to worry about it. The question is to what extent it could affect you. If you're someone that's overly worried about it, then you, Taka, should be overly worried about it. Because you're worrying about it, law of attraction, so to speak, is what gives the mazik, and it gives this koyach of ayin hara its ability to do its thing. The less you worry about it, the less you have to worry about it. But on some level, everybody has to be concerned about it. That's al kaponim, what the Rashbam says in Perek Avri Psachim. That's certainly the Pashim Shad in this halacha. But the Rabbeinu Bechaya, in the beginning of Pashas Kisisa, says a different shot. He says, you know what the Bir Advarim is? He says, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs miracles. Shem performs miracles. He's an Oysenisen. And the miracles that Hashem performs can really be divided into two groups. There's Nisim Gluyim, and there's Nisim Nistarim. Nisim Gluyim, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, that's Ka'usay Shal Mitzrayim. Eser Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, Yeridus Amon, Vahaslov, Haitzois Hamayim and Atzur, Hameshanim Tivoy, Umen Hagoy Shal Olam. But in addition to all the spectacular, extraordinary miracles that Hashem performs, Hashem also performs Nisim Nistarim. And you know when Hashem performs Nisim Nistarim? Every single moment of every person's lives. A person is constantly being guided by Hashem. It's the first of the 13 animamim. Hashem is Boirei Umanik. Every single thing that happens to us in our life is being guided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't notice it. Ein balanes makir benisoy. But every single moment of the day, says Rabbeinu Bachya, Hashem is performing miracles for us. Says Rabbeinu Bachya Dover Nifla. A person wants bracha to be chal in his tefuah. He wants that he should have a good year. If you're going to constantly count, if you're going to constantly be aware of what you have going on, Hashem is not going to be able to then go and be meshana what was and make it better, because it's going to be a nes nigla. And Hashem doesn't just make nisim gluyim. If, however, you're not going to count, so you don't know, meaning if Hashem is going to make it better than really it was supposed to be, it'll be bepchinas nes nister, that's something Hashem does. Hashem does that every minute of the day. So that's not an issue. So if it's somuy min ha'ayin, then if it's going to change for the positive, it's going to be begeder nes nister, that's something Hashem will have no problem doing. But the moment it's goli, it's out in the open, people know about it. If now suddenly it changes for the good, wow, look at what happened. That's a nes nigla. Hashem doesn't perform these simgui. For that you need grace of schosim. That's not something that happens. Hashem does it, but it requires a much greater schos. So a person wants bracha, keep it quiet. Don't even know yourself what's going on. Because if you don't know, it'll be a nes nistar. There's a much better chance, probability-wise, that everything is going to play itself out right. How does this come into Parshas Kisisa? Because Rebbeinu Bechaya says it in the context of this idea that Moshe was told not to count the Yidin. Ayit Zautnisht. Because if it's Samim Min Ayin, Bracha is going to be Chal. If it's not Samim Min Ayin, then Bracha is not going to be Chal. But Rebbeinu Bechaya, although he mentions Ayin Hara, but if you go through this first piece in Parshas Kisisa, it's much less about Ayin Hara. It's much more about this idea that if you keep it quiet, bracha could be chal. I heard once that it's for that reason some people, they don't like going to doctors for checkups, and you know today people do scans, full body scans and things like that that are recommended by some healthcare professionals. But others argue that if you're going to find something chalila, then for it to change is going to require more of the nes nigla. It's not samim and ayin anymore. The less you know, the better chance you have of it never surfacing and never being an issue, because if you didn't know about it, Hashem will just make it go away with a tefillah or something along those lines. But either way, that's this idea of a davar hasami minayin. That's the first aura. The second aura is that this bracha that's brought down here, And once he's his cholam and he makes a brachas, brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's brought down in Hilchas Brachas, Simen Reish Lamed. So Simen Reish Lamed is what we would call a Chakava Simen in Shulchan Aruch. Din Ktsas Brachas Pratiyos. Certain brachas, almost random brachas that we're not so familiar with, that are actually brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Halacha Gimel. Hanichnas Lamed as Garna is someone that enters his Gairin. Oime Yiratzim Ofanecha Hashem Alikai, Shetishlach Bracha. Bikri has that. I feel like it's Rosh Hashanah at night. His chalamud oimer baruch hashaleach bracha. Bikri has that. Madad v'achakach birech. If he did the medida and afterwards he made the bracha, I raise it filashav. She'ena bracha mitzuya ela bedavar hasamoy min ha'ayin. The Mishneh Berurah says that the El Yerabba says that if somebody's going to say this bracha b'zman hazeh, it's okay, but he should say it without Shema Malchus. And the basis for that is based on a Ramban that the Ritva brings in our Gemara that says that it could be that the only time you're really allowed to make this bracha is if you're not just being moided your tefuah to see if you had a good year, but you're doing it because you want to be mafresh shumas and maestras. And the svara behind it is because you're going to make a bracha now that Hashem is shaleach bracha b'kri hazeh. Maybe Hashem's not going to give bracha b'kri hazeh. If Hashem doesn't give bracha b'kri hazeh, says the Ramban, it's a bracha levatala. It says the Ramban, but if you're being mafresh shumas and maestras, so then you have the haftacha of a view is kolam meiser ubechanonuni no bezois varikoisi lechem bracha ad belidai. If you're not being mafresh shumas and maestras, then maybe it's a shayla bracha levatola. Says Ramban, don't say. The El Yerabba brings it, and the Mishneh Berurah brings it over here. I saw on the side of the Dershu Mishneh Berurah that the Chazon Ish said that today we don't have shumas and maestras deiraisa, but you have shumas and maestras rabbanan and Eretz Yisrael. So let's say someone's being mafresh shumas and maestras bezman hazeh. Could he make the bracha or not? Says the Chazon Ish, yeah, a kemach in the bracha. You know why? Because the bracha of the haftacha of bechanuni no bezois varikoisi lochem bracha ad v'lidai is true even for truma derabbanan. So mean that it's true even for truma derabbanan. Nafkemina, this halacha would be negeya bezman hazeh that you can make the bracha b'shem malchus for somebody's b'mafas truma semaisus, even though it's only truma semaisus midirabbanan. But whether you could say shem malchus depends on whether the haftacha is there. The Haftacha Zdir says the Chazon Ish afilu bizman hazeh. But I'll tell you one interesting thing. We always say this, we're not farmers. So most of us don't make a living from tefuah and from crops. So this halacha in Shulchan Aruch, especially for people that live in Chutz Lares, is not really negeya bizman hazeh. But I'll read to you a lashon HaChayyadim. Chayyadim brings this verbatim like the Shulchan Aruch does. He just adds five words. Hanichnes lomud garnei shal tefuah. Oy! Says the Chayyadim, this is not exclusive to somebody that's a farmer, someone that has tefuah. The Nusach HaBracha and the Nusach HaTfilu was said for someone that has tefuah, because that's something that was very shchiach once upon a time. But the truth is that if somebody has a store, someone has a business, a hatagisheft, hanichnas lobot, he wants to see now, you can make, say a yiratzen, you can make a bracha. As I state the Chayyadim, obviously, I would think without Shema Malcha, certainly based on what the El Yerabba said that the Mishneh Berurah brings down, but the bottom line is that a person has a right, certainly to Chayyadim, to say this tefillah before he sits down with his accountant at the end of the year, or to say this bracha at the end, the very least, without Shema Malcha, something interesting. I'll just tell you, Agavurchi, this was halacha beis in Simen Reish Lamed. Again, din ktsas brachas pratiyas. Halacha dalet. Hanichnas lahakizdam. If somebody's going to be makizdam, to bloodlet. Oy me yehiratzoy mufanecha Hashem alikai, sheyeye esik ze li lirafuah. There's a tefillah that a person should say, that this esik that I'm doing, hakazastam, which was done once upon a time for refuah, very common, say a yehiratzain that it should work. Ula acha shehikis, afterwards he should say baruch reifichayim. It's halachah shulchan aruch simen reish lamed sifkat and dalet. Says the Mishneh Berurah, but who adim bechol midi derefuah yomer zeh. Not only for hakazastam, but he should say it for all in yonei refuah. V'lo yachshoyv shetia eze davar lerefuah ela ayidei aboyris baruch shemay. V'lechena ayidei tefila zu yosem betchayne boy v'yivakish v'medesh tehele lerefuah. Says the Mishneh Berurah that even though the Mechaber said it regarding hakazastam, that's just because hakazastam was very common back in the day. Although the Berhetiv says maybe it was dafuk kazus nam, but the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say that. Mishnah Berurah says it's true for chol midei refuah. And I'll tell you, says Mishnah, I think it's a great thing. Because when a person goes to a doctor, he has to balance in his mind his hishtadlis versus his betochen. Really, a person is supposed to believe the doctor is not the one that's going to ultimately give him the refuah. Hashem is going to give him the refuah. So says the Mishnah, you want to know a great skula to be able to channel your machshavas in the right place? Say a bracha. If a person is going to say a yiratzon, and he's going to say afterwards the baruch reifi chaylim, then that's a great way for him to assure that it's going to play out, that he's going to have the right betochen. It's for that reason, interesting halach and Shulchan Aruch, that a person goes to a doctor. Again, I saw on the side of the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, they bring from Rabbi Yashiv, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, that before surgery, Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky says a person should say it. But this is a tefillah and a bracha that got lost somewhere in the Golos, but it is a halacha mefuresh and Shulchan Aruch. Either way, Zokta Gemara Vayter. So the topic of the Mishnah is a shomer that was given money to watch. If he watched it, Kederach HaShomrim, and then something happened, he's Potter. If he didn't watch it, Kederach HaShomrim, and then something happened, he's going to be Chayiv. The Mishnah gave two examples of what it means, Shaloi Shomar Kederach HaShomrim. Either he took it, put it in a bag, and he swung it behind his back. It's not in front of him when he's walking. That's not good. Or he gave it Lebnoi Ubitei Haktanim. So we have more halachas with regards to how a person is supposed to watch money. Now you watch money under the mattress. You're supposed to put it Bekarka, that's how money's, otherwise, anywhere else in the house, it's not considered protected. That if it was Erev Shabbos Kodesh Bein HaShmashes, that's when he got the Pekodin, that you're not obligated to take the money and start digging a hole to put it Bekarka. Rabbanan weren't matrich you to do that. Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmashes is a very busy time. I mean that it's very busy, you're tarred, you're preparing for Shabbos, so you're not obligated to dig the hole. Incidentally, the Rishonim speak out. We don't mean literally Bein HaShmashes. We mean right before Bein HaShmashes, as it's becoming Bein HaShmashes. Bein HaShmashes is Suffolk Shabbos. He anyways wouldn't be able to do it. The mice would be mukts at that point. But the point is, if it's really close to Shabbos, at that point, lo yachruchu rabbanan. V'isha l'moitzoy Shabbos shele mikberinu. But if, however, Shabbos passed, and you had enough time, Matzoy Shabbos, to dig this hole, to hide the money, and you didn't, and then the money was stolen, or something happened to it, then you're going to be chayv. Why? Because Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShmashes, there was a title. But the first thing after Shabbos, you have to do it. V'it surba mirabbananu, if the mafkid is a tzorbet mirabbanon, then you don't have to. Because savar, you can always argue, dilma mibay lezuzi la'avdalta, that I thought that maybe he's going to realize after Shabbos that he was low on money. He needed money to go buy wine for Havdalah. So it's for that reason that, you're allowed to keep the money handy. So it's a good argument. And the shomer is not obligated to bury right away. He could say, I'm going to leave it around for another couple of minutes, an hour, after a bit of tanzman, the achtelsman, or make sure all this man pass. If he still doesn't come and he still didn't request the money for him to go be, make Havdalah, then it's going to be okay. Now, incidentally, do you need wine for Havdalah? Of course you do. The shaila always is yayin by Kiddush and Havdalah. Is it a dinda iraisa? Or is it a din derabbanan? It's a yayin by kiddush. It's a big machlokes rishonim. Tosfos brings it in many places in Shas. Zochres yom Shabbos lekadesh. That's where we learn that a person has an obligation to be mekadesh as a Shabbos b'knisasa u'b'yitziyasa. The question is, what about yayin? Zochrei while a yayin. Is that a din deiraisa or is that a din derabbanan? The whole shaila is dafka kiddush Friday night, but kiddush Shabbos day and havdalah. There's certainly no chiv yayin deiraisa. Stating that there's a chiv yayin derabbanan. Where it's negei lahalach is you can use chamar medin. You can't use Chamar Medina. You can't b'dieved make Kiddush on beer or coffee. Ask your local rabbi on a Friday night. But you can b'dieved make Kiddush on beer or coffee. Ask your local rabbi on Shabbos day or Mitzvah Shabbos. That's something that you're allowed to do. Whatever the definition of Chamar Medina is. It's because Havdalah L'Yayin is not Midairaisa. Certainly not. Could be Havdalah itself is not Midday Raisa, but Havdalah Alayayin is definitely not Midday Raisa. Kiddush Alayayin is something that's Midday Raisa. But before we see the next Gemara, and we really get back into Perek HaMafkid, just one Ha'ara regarding Bein HaShmashes. So the Gemara said that if you give a Shomer money to watch Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmashes, the halacha is he's not obligated to watch it Bekarka. And the reason is because he's very torrid, and as a result, lo yatzrichu rabbanan. And this is the thing that we spoke about when we learned Mesachtes Gittin, Mesachtes Kedushin. It came up a few times, this idea that a person is considered to be very torrid Erev Shabbos. It was a very busy time. And there's different places where it plays itself out in Chazal. Number one, as Gemara Mesachtes, Erev and Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, that Eliyahu HaNavi is not going to come on an Erev Shabbos or an Erev Yontif. You know why? Jews are busy preparing for Shabbos. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come now. No, not today. Thursday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. But Eliyahu HaNavi is not going to come on an Erev Shabbos. We learned together the Gemara Mesachtes Gittin Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, where the Gemara tells a story that there were two people that used to always get into a fight. Beis Shimshi, Bein HaShmoshes, on Erev Shabbos. Rav Meir once was in the neighborhood, he heard about this fight that was constantly going on. He stayed there three Shabbosim, and he was finally able to get the fight to start happening. Why were they fighting Dafka Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShmoshes? Because that's a time that's very tense. It's a tense time. People are very busy. It's a time that's all over Machloikas. The Gemara Masechtes Kedushin, Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara says if someone's a Gabbai Tztaka, Masiyah LeKahuna, that as far if he wants to do a shidduch now with someone that's from the mishpacha samiyuchasayis, we don't have to be baidik azichos. Because if there was something bad about this person, we would have all known about it. It's like a candidate that's running for office. If there's a piece of schmutz and we didn't hear about it, it's probably not true. Because anything that anybody can possibly dig up, they'll dig up. People naturally didn't like the Gabbai Tztaka. You know why, says the Gemara? Because memashkinin, they used to go and collect money from people. Va'afilu be'erev Shabbos, Zabrashi, even Erev Shabbos when people were very tarud, the Gabbai Tztaka is knocking on the door 10 minutes before Shabbos. You didn't fulfill your $180 pledge. You know what happens? You stop fighting and you think of anything you could possibly say about this person. So if this person that didn't go to his door on Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmoshes, if he couldn't come up with some piece of schmutz about this Gabbai Tztaka, there's obviously nothing to come out with this person. So if you read a shidduch from him, you don't have to be by the kiddichos. You could assume he's from the mishpacha samiyuchas. Again, it's based on this idea that Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmosh, it's a tense time. You know why it's a tense time? Pashav Shabbos, because there's a lot going on. The Ram Shif says in Masechtas Gittin Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, that when the Gemara says in Gittin Daf Vav Amud Beis, that three things that a person is supposed to say in his house, Erev Shabbos, he should say, Benichusa, Araftem, Asartem, Edliku Asaner. Why those three things? Everything he's supposed to say, Benichusa. Says it's true, but Erev Shabbos, right around Shabbos time, is a very, very intense time. It's a zman that's all over the machlokes because everybody's very torah. As a result, then you have to be extra careful. Now we spoke out the Ben Ishchai and Parshas Noach that it's the Satan and it's related to Ahava and Shabbos, Bayikala. So we spoke out some really nice things when we learned them. But Ein Beis Medrash B'loi Chiddush just was thinking last night, one Hesafa. And that is, there's a Medrash that says in Parshas Bereishis that Erev Shabbos Kodesh Bein HaShmoshes, Hashem created the last thing that was created. You know the last thing that was created? The Mazikin. They were created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmoshes. The Medrash says that Hashem was creating these beings. And what happened was, in the middle of creating them, the sun set. And because the sun set, Hashem couldn't complete the job. As a result, they came out disformed, what we know as Shadim and Mazikin. The Shadim and the Mazikin were created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmoshes. We once spoke out in our Chaim HaKadosh. The Chaim says that the whole Medrash is Tzorech Bir. What does it mean? Hashem ran out of time. Hashem couldn't have planned it a little bit better from the onset. And what Hashem needs time to do something. Terrified, Hashem can create whatever He wants to create. Says the Chaim HaKadosh, Hashem wanted to teach us how important keeping Shabbos is. Hashem wanted to show that if you're in the middle of doing something, and now Shabbos comes, and you're left with a little bit of an aside, do I stop doing what I'm doing and observe Shabbos? Or let me finish my job. Hashem Himself stopped the job because it was Shabbos. And it wasn't just any ordinary job. You know what this job was? Hashem was creating a being, and because He stopped creating it, what came out were monsters. That's what came out, literally. Mazikin and Shadim. And Hashem was willing to have Shadim and Mazikin in the world, but keep Shabbos. And the reason he did it was to show the world, to teach the world this message, that it doesn't matter what loss you're possibly going to have as a result of the fact of you keeping Shabbos, Shabbos trumps. Shabbos is more important. And as a result, you stop doing whatever it is you're doing to keep Shabbos. It was something that was done by Kavana to show the world that I'm willing to falai the mazikin and the shedim, to teach the world this lesson, what it means to keep Shabbos. But I just had one machshava. We know that Gehenim was created on Monday, the second day of the week. That's right, Monday. Why was it created on Monday? Because on Monday, HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided the Mayim El Yoinim and the Mayim HaTachtoinim. There was Machloikis. There was Chaluka. Shir Mizmel of Nekoirach. That's the shir that we say on Monday. It's for that reason Gehenim was created on Monday. Because if there's Machloikis, there's Gehenim. One begets the other. I was thinking, Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes, which is a Zman that you see, is Olam Machloikis. Is a Zman that's Olam Machloikis. You know it was created, Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. That's when the Mazikin were created. Gehenna was created, B'yom Sheni, because that's the day of Machloikis. Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes, again, is a Zman that's super Olam Machloikis. Mazikin were created then as well. That's the Shedim, the Mazikin. Either way, we have a Daf Gemara to learn. Says the Gemara. So what did Shmuel say? That you know how you're supposed to watch Ksof? The first wide line. Now that there are people that would walk into somebody's house, ganovim, that they're a little bit more sophisticated. They know how to tap the ground to see that maybe something is hiding underneath there. So you can't hide money in the ground anymore. You'd have to put it in the ceiling. Now that they're prumoi, Rashi says, people that are shavrei hatikra, they break the roof. Now you have to put it between the bricks in the wall. It doesn't have to be literally between the bricks. As long as it's in the koisel, that's going to be enough. So you get the point. These are people that bang the walls to see if there's anything there. You'd have to put it in the wall, but either really close to the ground or really close to the Shmeikaira. That's the blind spot in the wall that these people aren't going to get to. That's the only way to do it. Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Yosef, the Ravashi, Rav Acha b'rei de Rav Yosef told Ravashi, sometime we learned in the Mishnah regarding the halachas of chametz. Chametz enough all of my poilus. If somebody has chametz in his house on Pesach, so you have to get rid of it. A mapoilas, a wall fell, and now it buried the chametz. Hareza kemavur, you don't have to do anything about it now, because it's covered. Shem gamli aloymer, depends. Kol she'ina kelev yochel l'chapes achrav, if it's buried in a way that a dog won't be able to get to it, then you don't have to do anything about it. But if a dog can get to it, you do. Why? Because we're afraid the dog's going to go for it, uncover it, it won't be mavur anymore. So it depends on whether the dog can get it or not. V'tana, kamo chafisas hakelev, what's the way to know, well, how big does the mapilus have to be for us to assume the dog won't be able to get to it? Gimel tfachim. And gimel tfachim, the Rishonim say, means underground. I mean, if the mapilus knocked it underground and it's now three tfachim underground, then we assume that the kelev won't be able to get to it. So that's the definition of buried as it relates to chametz. What about with regards to Shmuel's halacha that ksofim ein lem shmira ela bekarka? So if you bury it in the karka, it's going to be good. How deep in the karka does it have to be? With regards to chametz, we said the chametz has to be three tefachim deep. How about regarding this halacha? The point over there is a dog can smell the food, so therefore the definition or the way to make sure the dog's not going to smell it is three tefachim. That is the koyveya. Hacha over here, mishum ichsuyim me'ena. Here it's about not being able to see it. So lebi'ina gimel tefachim. It doesn't have to be three. You can't smell the money. You can smell the food. You're not smelling the money, so it doesn't have to be three. Some people could, right? The kamo amarafram misichra. So rafram misichra said tefach. As long as it's one tefach deep, that's going to be enough. In case you didn't notice, it's a very long tosfos on the Amid that we're very conveniently going to gloss over. But the topic of Tosfos is, Tosfos clears a shaila, if a Shomer Socher, who's chayef for Gnevei Aveda, was given money to watch, and he watched the money by putting it bekarka, or bishmei koira, he used one of the methods that are considered good shmira, and then afterwards the money was stolen. Is the Shomer Socher going to be chayiv, or is the Shomer Socher going to be potter? So I think at first glance, if you ask the man on the street, he would tell you, of course he's going to be potter. He watched it. The Shomer Socher's job is to watch it. He has to do a proper shmira. This is considered a proper shmira. So if later something happens, my havalei lemebet, he's an oynis, and if he's an oynis, then he's going to be potter, right? That would certainly be the pashut shot. It's not pashut. If it was pashut, we wouldn't have this Tosfos. Tosfos is mitzadeit that could be you would be chayiv, and Tosfos Bava Kama and many other rishonim say halacha lemaisa that you are in fact going to be chayiv. And there's different svaros in the rishonim why, and this is really where the raid, the lamdish raid in this sugya is. The svar that Tosfos entertains is that really every geneva is karav la'inus. Anytime I'm watching something and somebody else comes and steals it, even if it's not oinus, it's certainly karav la'inus. And still, a shayim asachar is chayiv. Meaning the fact that a shayim asachar is chayiv for geneva, says Tosfos, is really a chiddush. Because he's potter and oinus. And every geneva, you can argue, is karav la'inus. But once the Torah was mechadish, that a shayim asachar is chayiv for geneva, that means even though it's karav la'inus, though he's chayiv, it must be exeris hakasav, that a shayim asachar is chayiv for geneva. So that even if the geneva happened not in a way that was karav la'inus, but it happened in a way that was oinus gomor, still, says Tosfos, the halacha could be that you're going to be chayiv. It's a gevaldig chiddush. That if the geneva happened, al yidei oinus gomor, still you're going to be chayiv. Because every geneva is really karav la'oinus, and still your chayiv must be b'hachi chayiv rachmana. That even though shem esachos pata from oinsin, but oinus of geneva must be different. If oinus of geneva is different when it's karav la'oinus, so it could be oinus of geneva will be different when it's a real oinus. Tosfos over here at the end of this Tosfos says that really you're pater, but Tosfos Bava Kama and many other Rishonim say no, because of this far you're in fact going to be chayiv. The Tosfos and Shin Gimel says if that's the case, we always lump geneva v'aveda together when we talk about a shayim asachar. Comes out there's a very big nafka mina la'locha between geneva and v'aveda, because if Tosfos holds svara why you should be chayiv for geneva ba'oinus is because every Gneva is Karav La'inus, says the Gtzoy. That's true by Gneva. But Aveda is not Karav La'inus. The Gtzoy says Gneva is actually Karav L'Pshia. Because why had you let it get? You should have watched it. Had you watched it, it wouldn't have got lost. God, if somebody broke into my house, he stole it. That's Karav La'inus. But Aveda certainly is much more negligent from the Shomer standpoint than is Gneva. So therefore, you don't have Tosfos Svara, so it's Pashit. If the Aveda would happen, Machmas Oynus Gomer, the person became sick and then it got lost, he was a real Oynus. In that instance, there's no question, says the Tosfos, you're going to be Potter. So Gneva Ba'Oynus, you'll be Chayiv. Aveda Ba'Oynus, you'll be Potter. Based on this Tosfos, either way, there's a lot more raid. We will go weiter. Ahu Gavro, the Gemara now is going to tell a few stories. A few of them we've seen already, but we haven't, with regards to a Shomer Pekada. Who gave it up? Because it was a Gabi Chavre. There was a person that gave his friend money to watch. We saw this earlier in the Perek. A Sfinu B'Tzri for the Urbani. He put it in a house that was made out of straw. Ignov, and it was stolen from the house. Now, the fact that it was stolen from the house was technically an oinus. However, this person was a Peshaya. The reason it was a Peshaya was because what if a fire would have broke out in the area, this house would have gone up in flames. It was a tzrif of the urbani. It was a hut that was made out of hay. It was made out of straw. So this shomer was considered a pesheya with regards to fire. He was ultimately an oinus with regards to the geneva. And the question was, now that the oinus happened, was he chayiv or was he potter? What was the shayla? Amar Rav Yosef said, even though he did a shmira with regards to geneva, but le'inyan nura pshiusa, he was a pesheya with regards to the fire. Have a tchilase b'pshiya. You'll be chay. Others said no. Even though he was considered a pesheya with regards to the fire, he was considered a oynes with regards to geneva because this house was as protected for ganovim as would a regular brick house be. And what's the halacha? The hilchasa. This came up at the beginning of the parak. Over there, we discussed the case of where the oynes that happened was the animal died. And there the Gemara entertained the svara that dying maybe is different because malachamavis, malihacha, malihasam. So that was one of the first sugyas in Parak Kamafkid. Either way, this Gemara right here, Bava Metziah, Membeis Amar Aleph, this is the first Mara Mokum you'd go to if you sat down to learn the sugya of Tchilase Bepshia Vesayfa Bainas. Next Gemara we saw as well. Another important Gemara, Big Yisayt. And again, something we saw. Who gave it to Afke Zuzi Gabi Chavei? There was somebody that gave his friend money to watch. Amalehi told him, Havli Zuzai. I want my money back. The mafkid has a right to do that. Omalehi told him, I can't remember where I put it. Also, the Kami de Rava, he came before Rava. I think in the previous Gemara, it was Rav Nachman. the side it says Rabbah, but either way, he said, Kolo Yodana, Pshiyusehi, for a Shomer to say, I can't remember, Shochachti, I forgot, is considered a Pesheh, a Zil Shalim, Gopay. We spoke of then the Shvus Yaakov as a Chuv in other areas in Halacha. If a person forgets, is he considered an Oinis, or is he considered a Pesheh? Is Karv L'Oinis, Karv L'Pshia, comes up in Erev Tavshilin, the whole Periklal Gadol that talks about someone that's Mechal Shabbos Pesheigig, it's all based on Shochach, Iker Shabbos, different places in Halacha. But either way, this is again one of the Mar Mekoimis as it relates to Shikcha in Halacha. Is it considered Pshia, Rabba, Rava, Rav Nachman, Paskin, Kol, Lo Yodan? A third story. This one we did not see. Somebody gave his friend a shomer money to watch. So he, the shomer, took the money, gave it to his mother to watch it for him, and she put it in her argas. She put it in her chest. She put it in a closet somewhere to watch. And then later it was stolen. The mafkin now comes to the shomer. Where's my money? I gave it to my mother. The mother says, I put it over here. It was stolen. It's gone. Who's chayiv? Is anybody chayiv? Oh, my Rava. Rava said, Heichini dainu dainu lahaydin. How's a dying in a pasuk in the shayiv? Namely, Lididei Zil Shalim. Should we tell the shomer, you had no right giving it to your mother. You're a pesheya. You're chayiv. Omar, he'll say, Kol ha-mafkid al-das ishtay u-banavu mafkid. We know that when a person gives somebody else a pekod, then he knows there's a good chance that he's going to give it to some of his family members. Incidentally, how do we know that? Our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah said that if you're a shomer and you give your money to b'noyu b'tei haktanim, then you're a chayiv. Shloishim kederach ha-shomerim. So you say, Meres, if you give it to b'noyu b'tei ha-gidoylim, and this is a chiddush, even your mother, we spoke at the Mardchai, even your son-in-law, but if you give it to other family members, that too is considered shmira. So the shomer didn't do anything wrong. Namely, the imay zilu shlima. Should we go to the mother and tell the mother she has to pay? Amra, she'll say, la'yamali delavdi deyninu. I didn't realize I was being a shomer. I thought my son wanted me to watch something for him. I didn't realize that he himself was a shomer and he was just passing over the buck. No pun intended. She wanted me to now watch this money. How was I supposed to know that? So she didn't even know she was being a shomer. So she's certainly not Pesheya. Name away. So maybe we should go to the shomer, back to him, and say, Amayloi Amritla, why didn't you tell your mother that she was being a shomer? So again, even though he had a right to give it to her, but he's a pesheh because he didn't tell her that she's being a shomer. But says the Gemara, Amar, he can always argue a very reasonable argument. I thought that she'd watch it better if she knew it was mine. No, she's going to watch it if she knows it's Chaim Yankel's. Me, I'm her son. She wants to watch her son's money more. So at the end of the day, nobody seemed to do anything wrong over here. This person lost his money. There was a lot of confusion here, but Rava wasn't sure. How in the world are we supposed to pask in the Shiloh? So Rava came up with a psak that was very much a chiddush. Elo my Rava. The shomer needs to swear. This is a shvur d'rabbanan. But he would have to swear that he gave the money to his mother. So the mother would have to swear that she took the money and she put it in this chest, the ignov, and that it was stolen from there, or potter, and everybody's going to be potter.